It's been quite a little bit of time since we've been on the ABCs of Christian maturity, and we've come out the other side. So I was praying about it and put a lot of thought into it. This was initially one of the first lessons I was thinking of doing, but the ABCs of Christian maturity came first. So now I'd like to move on to a study on the Christian's response to stress. And the book that I'm pulling it out of is called Thriving Through Stressful Times. And I tell you what, some of y'all are having some stressful times, aren't you? It is not easy living on a cursed earth. There are numerous amounts of things, that can get to you. Things that can happen that cause us to have to change our plans, change what we're doing. And it's important for us to understand, what do we do with stress? Stress is an inevitable thing. It is something that will happen. I've known a lot of people that get it into their heads that they can sidestep stress, right? If I don't have a job, I don't have to worry about the stress of a job. If I don't engage in this, and if I stay away from responsibility, and if I just refuse to participate in anything, I can get away from stress, right? We've got a couple generations going through right now that struggle with that. They think, and of course it's always been an issue, right? If I do the minimal, if I don't participate, if I rely on others to take care of me, then I don't have to worry about stress. Well, that's just not true. And on top of it, you've become somebody else's stress. You've become somebody else's burden. The other side of it are the people that think that they can sedate stress away. Right? I get into conversations. I won't say arguments because there's no point in it. But I get into conversations with people and they say, well, no, you don't understand. Yes, traditionally churches have preached against this, but it's legal now and it makes me feel good. Of course it makes you feel good. You're sedated. But there's a whole world of problems that come from numbing yourself to what is happening, right? You can't check out and expect things to be okay. I knew some teenagers that got way into playing these video games. That's a type of sedation. And while their parents are hollering, get to college, get a job, get out of the house, take a bath. So, you know, yelling at them, do these things. Okay, Mom. All right. Sedation. The people that spend 9-10 hours in front of a television set, sedation. Right? Food in excess is a form of sedation. Why? But you don't get it. It feels good. Yes, it feels good. But is it good for you in the moment? Is it good for you in that minute? There was somebody out there, they were talking about joining this service to where if somebody was too drunk to drive home, I think this was the pre-Uber days, you could text into this thing and there was a charity and they were raising money for it to pay the driver's gas and for wear and tear on their cars to go get people who had gotten themselves into a position where they were too drunk to drive home. Now, that's fine. I guess I'd much rather that than you drive home, much rather that than you hurt yourself. But my point is this, is you've gotten yourself into a place that is not your home, and you've taken leave of your senses in a public place. Driving is not the only danger out there. Right? You're out there with your money. You're out there with your debit card. You're out there with your own person, right? And it's not just women that we would be concerned about being in a vulnerable state in a public place, right? We get into trouble. Right? What was it? Robert Downey Jr. said, I had to quit drinking. I became allergic to it. Yeah, what would happen when you drink? I break out in handcuffs. Right? And that's a reality for a lot of folks. They try to sedate the stress away. Well, guess what happens? You sober up. You go to stand up or you go to walk away from the screen and the stuff is still there. You've just put it off. You've just put it off. And what happens to workload? What happens to responsibility when we put it off? Well, it just accumulates, doesn't it? It adds. I used to have a boss, and they always toted this work-life balance. Matt, I don't want you to work at home. Okay, boss. But the workload was such that I had to work at home. I did. It was just, I had to take some stuff home from time to time. No big deal. I don't want you to work from home. I don't want you to work from home. You know what they got me? They got me a work computer. I said, well, why did you get me a work computer? It was a work laptop. Well, so you could work from anywhere. I go, well, wait a minute. What are you trying to say here? And I appreciate it. It was a nice thing for them to have done for us. Now, that was pretty cool. But, you know, take a day off. That work will always be there. I go, yeah, but here's the thing. If I do, my concern was what? By the time I'd clock back in, that work would have friends. And I would have to tackle him and his friends. I'd much rather hit him one at a time. That stuff adds up. Right? You put off doing the dishes in my house. Well, we'll just do the dishes in the morning. That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare with our crew. You can't do that. You got to keep doing them throughout the day. You can't put it off. You know, when it was my wife and I, we would do the dishes in the morning. We'd make sure the dishes were done right after lunchtime if we were home. And then we would do the dishes right after dinner. Now it just seems like you're always washing the dish, putting in the dishwasher. You're always getting it out of the sink, right? You can't sedate your way past stuff. The work adds up. All right, and some people think that they can stop stress. So they'll go on these retreats and they'll do yoga and they'll do meditative breathing and they'll do all these things. I can get into a position where I can stop stress. Well, that's not going to happen either. Because did you know that stress isn't an emotion? Stress isn't an emotion. The emotion that you get in the face of stress, what are they? That's frustration, worry, doubt, fear, right? Fatigue. Those are already pre-established emotions. The stress itself, the definition of stress has always been the amount of load upon an object or the amount of work needed to be done by an object, right? If we were stress testing a piece of wood or stress testing a metal beam, it would be how much can it hold before it snaps, right? The motion, right? So our stress would be the work that needs to be done, the things that need to be overcome, the issues that need to be cleared up, but the emotion would be like the friction of the work. It is the byproduct of the workload on us. You can deal with the emotion and the sedating and the sidestepping and the pretending that it's somebody else's responsibility and the putting it off and blaming other people. That will help you a little bit with the emotion. But the real stress is still there. Right? We talk about I can't remember how they're putting it, the fancy way they're putting it, but where the government is, they say they're canceling student loan debt. And all these college kids are like, yes, this is wonderful, until you get the tax check next year. Until they raise taxes and they do this and they do that. Oh, yes, please, we want free this and we want free that. No, you're dealing with the small thing now, but there'll be a bigger thing coming. Right? So we can only deal with the emotion so much before we realize that that's not going to fix the problem. You can't stop stress because there'll always be something pressing upon you. There will always be something that needs to be done. Right? Being as small as the next meal that needs to be made, the next floor that needs to be swept, the next task at your job, the next illness, the next heartbreak, the next the thing that sets you back, you'll be able to deal with the emotion, but the problems will still come and you'll still have to deal with those problems. So how do we do this from a Christian perspective? How do we handle this properly? Well, to do this from a Christian perspective, the proper perspective, if you don't mind me saying, we've got to look at the beginnings of stress and mankind. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And in verse 1, we're familiar with this. Oh man, are we familiar with this? Verse 1, the serpent, more subtle than any beast, comes and tempts Eve. Hey, is this what God said? And all of a sudden, there's Eve. She's rattling things around in her head. Well, no. And then they're going back and forth. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. the very first stress that hit mankind was, can I trust God? Do you see that there? Can I trust Him? In this situation, in this thing that's going on, listen, is it possible that there is something more right than God? Is there something that would get me there better than what God could do? Because is He just trying to keep me in a box? Does He not want what's best for me? Is the question the devil is postulating here. Right? Oh, don't you? You're not going to die. God's just trying to hold you back. And I tell you what, is that not the voice that we're hearing today? No. God just doesn't want you to drink, right? God's just a cosmic killjoy in the sky. He just doesn't want you to have fun with us tonight. He doesn't want you to go have fun with the stranger that you just met. He doesn't want you to have a free life. They want to make decisions for you. And somebody said that to me one time. Those pastors, you just want to make decisions for people. And I laugh at that because you want to know the honest truth? That's too much pressure. I don't want to make decisions for you. You know, I care for the decisions that people make. I'm deeply invested in the decisions. I want the godly best for your lives. I do. But do you think I want to sit there and dictate every little thing? I don't. I don't know a single person out there who got to spiritual leadership because they desired to control people. Now, I've known some people out there that do that. Right, but for the most part, they want that control, not for the sake of the control, but they want it for the money. They want it for the money. I think about that guy down there in Taylor. Millions of dollars he fleeced out of this ministry. Right, they're still working it down there today. He's still in charge of it down there. They're still giving him the money, and he's still buying ridiculous things. Right? Why? That's nefarious. That's not what we want. We understand sin and what sin does. And we don't want that to be a part of your life. That's why we preach the way we do. We don't want you to have the effects of it, especially if you're a child of God. Right? I'm studying something right now. Don't know when it'll come out. But the Bible talks about giving ourselves over to the weak and beggarly elements so that we fall back into slavery. Fall back into the bondage that we were once in. Not that we've lost our salvation, but even though the door is swung open, we stay in the cell because there's some things there that we like. Oh, but the bed was comfortable. You know, I want to stay. We don't want that for folks, right? We don't want that level of disobedience in your life. We don't want what comes with sin nor with disobedience to be a part of your life. That ought to be the purpose of it. That's what God wants. God doesn't want sin in your life. God doesn't want you to hurt from the things that you do. So that is the very first thing that we see. But stress really comes in when sin comes in. So what do we see here in Genesis 3? We know, of course, Eve takes the fruit. She takes the fruit, gives it to her husband. Both of them having sinned before God. And that is when it comes in. Immediately what happens? Their eyes are opened. And they see what? We're naked. Now, stress will come normally, right? There's the stress of my workday. There's the stress of my responsibilities. There's that on me. But sin is a special kind of stress. Because now I'm in a bad situation, and I've got to do stuff that I'm uncomfortable with because I'm in a bad situation. We shouldn't even know this, right? That's what Adam and Eve, I can imagine Adam and Eve kind of looking at each other. How did we not know? Oh, it all changed when I ate the fruit. You know, God told us something would happen, and this is what's going on. So now what do we got to do? Well, now, clearly we can't just sit out here without clothes, so we've got to make some clothes. You ever try to make clothes out of fig leaves? I haven't. You want to know why? Because it doesn't sound fun. I've never just sat there and go, you know what would be a hoot? Trying to find some leaves, sewing them together to see if I could put them on as clothes. But there they are. Oh, we've got to do something about this. We've got to do something about this. And it didn't stop there, did it? All of a sudden, here comes God. Hello? Hello? Why are you hiding? oh, well, we were naked and these fig leaves, we're not good at sewing, so we had to hide. Who told you you were naked? Stress. Well, what do I do? What do I do? He wants to know how I know. He wants to know how we're aware of this. I can't take the blame on myself because that's just too much for me. I've got anxiety issues. The woman you gave me. And then the Lord goes over to the woman. All right, well, what about you? How about it was a serpent, right? It was a serpent. And all of a sudden we start having sinful responses. And sinful response leads to sinful response. And the stress adds and builds and builds. Oh, and folks, it doesn't end there either, does it? As we continue to go on, let's go to verse 13. Verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And he goes on, thorns and thistles, verse 19, sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So there was the stress of temptation, which led to the stress of just what sin does to us. The panic, the hustling, the lying, the blame shifting. And then on top of it, God cursed the earth. And he put certain things on us as a punishment. It adds to it. You know, I'll have the kids, they'll do something wrong. Ah, they're laughing while they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing. Dad comes home. Now you knock it off. Now here's the punishment. You over there, you over there, you over there. Y'all going to sit there for 5 whole minutes. All right, set the timer. 5 whole minutes. They're not laughing anymore. You know, Gideon especially. Gideon will wrench your heart. It's hard to punish that boy. Just you ever want to hug somebody while they're in timeout? I'm going to hold you the whole time, buddy. Right? You know, on top of it was this, you know, all of a sudden now work becomes hard. Childbirth becomes hard. There's all these extra things that go on top of it. And God didn't just curse man and woman. He cursed the whole of the earth. We're all going to suffer now. And again, it wasn't just that, but our sin itself wreaks havoc upon the world. The things that we do, the thoughtless, careless actions, the selfish things we do, have a grander effect. You know, well, if there is a God, why are there so many drunk driving accidents? Because we've got drunk drivers. You know, if there is a God, why on earth is there all this poison in our water? Because we've got people who poison water and don't care. That's why we got sinners. We ourselves make this world worse and harder to live in. Right? When you're sitting there and, well, so-and-so got caught in a drive-by, an innocent little child was shot by a bullet that went astray. That's us. That's us making life difficult. So stress came from the institution of sin, from both the temptation of it and the existence of it now in our world. When we fell, when the Lord placed his judgment upon us, then stress really began to take root. Because I want you to think for a second about how wonderful it was for Adam and Eve in the garden. There were no grocery stores, brother. Right? You lived in one. You just, You probably feel like you do live in one, don't you? You know, you live in one. All right, well, hey, all right, we're going to have some of this today. Hey, you know, I noticed if I put these three together, it tastes real fine. I like that. Do that. You had nothing to do. You tended for the animals. You made sure, oh, look, there's the lions. They're doing their thing. I love that. And you just went through, and life was stress-free, and it was wonderful, right? It was as close to heaven as we were ever going to get, right? It was beautiful. Beautiful. No worrying, no clocking in, no clocking out, no war, no neighbors to rile you up, no traffic. Oh, man, no traffic. It's beautiful. But it's not like that now, is it? As a matter of fact, we find new ways to stress our own selves out, to add to our troubles and trials and tribulations. We create more things to again add into what's already there. Now the good news is, though, is not only does the Bible tell us about the beginning of stress, but it tells us about the end of stress. Right? In the book of Revelation, we see where the Lord comes back and grabs his people. We know that at the time in our lives when we close our eyes for the last time, we'll leave behind the things of this body. And what we'll leave behind is that stress. There's no 9-to-5s in heaven. There is no electric bill due in heaven. Right? There is no, well, a tree fell down in my yard and this happened, right? I think about my neighbors. They had a big old tree fall down in their backyard, almost wiped out their... They had a beautiful little bird bath back there, almost wiped that thing out. It was the two sons of the people that lived there were just kind of sitting there, and I kind of heard them bickering a little bit about it. Well, not at each other, but just grumbling about it. None of that up in heaven. And we see that. We just studied about what heaven's going to be like, the things that will be there, and oh, wow, the things that won't be there. And one of the things that won't be there is the stress and the workload. It'll be joy and singing praises and fellowship for all of eternity. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, that's common. Where the pain on this body, you know, I think we've got a lot of surgeries coming up in January. A lot of stuff going on. You guys got a lot of stuff going on in January, right? Why? Because for years you used that body part. How dare you? You know, your shoulder, your knee, you walked on that thing every day, you selfish person. And now what is it? It's worn down. After the stress of use, those things wear down. Well, in heaven, we're going to have a body that doesn't do that. Right, we're going to have a body that never needs medication. That some of us, we get stressed out just trying to keep our medication straight, right? Right. Okay, now do I take the red one now or later? Or my personal, I don't have a lot to take. But I saw my mom put together my grandma's one time. And she's just, I go, how do you know? Like, there's like 15 of them there. What are you doing? Like, is grandma's going to be half pills by the time you're done? You ever see one of those things flip over after they're completely put together? I'd quit. I'd quit. Oh, man, no more of that. Our bodies won't need that anymore. So yeah, we have it now. Now we can look at the news and we can stress, you know, will Putin do it or not? That's that big conversation after our president. He's not joking. Well, whoever said he was, Mr. President, whoever said he was. Is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? We ain't got to worry about that now. We certainly don't have to worry about that in heaven. Right, well, what about this? What about that? Gas prices and food prices and electrical prices and gas prices. Oh, man, the natural gas for my home. Oh, you don't have to worry about that. As you said, they're not that we're looking to get unclothed from this body. We're not looking to die. But we're looking forward to heaven. We're looking forward to it. So we see that in 2 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word for the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I wonder what manner of thing I'll be doing when the Lord comes back. You ever think about it? I thought a lot about not wanting to be caught doing something wrong, right? We always put that on ourselves. But imagine what job you'll be doing. I hope it's not driving, for the sake of everyone remaining. I hope it's not driving. I told you guys about my 1986 Suburban, the first car I ever owned, right? Mowed lawns, tutored, did everything I could to get that thing. Used to have a small little thing on the back. It wasn't a bumper sticker. It went around the license plate. I don't know what those are called. This is in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. Which when you see that in like a Ford Focus, it's like, oh, okay, well, they're religious. I get it. But in one of those monster Suburbans, I thought it was funny. Because that is a tank driving itself now. But what manner of thing, what responsibility that may or may not put a lot of strain on you will you be doing, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm gone? I think it'd be funny to be in like an MRI machine or something, or under like surgery, and all of a sudden, poof, I'm gone. The doctors that remain get the rest of the day off, right? They're going to have to explain, they're going to have some paperwork to do, I'm sure. I think about that. There's coming a time when the stress goes away. Either we'll meet the Lord in death, or he'll come down and get us. Either way, there is coming a time when this all ends. So we know the beginning. We know the end. It is on us to properly handle it in the middle. And that's what this study is going to be about. How do I make conscious decisions, scripturally conscious decisions in the things that I do so that stress doesn't overtake me? And instead, I do something that would bring honor and glory to the Lord while not completely wearing me out. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father.